Donovan Mitchell to play probably his more natural position of shooting guard more often. I know late in games he was bringing the ball up the court, but if you're asking me like Mike Conley or Rubio as far as like a spot-up shooter to play off ball when Donovan is getting the ball late in games and creating, I like Conley like as a secondary piece. Like I think that's a really good move for them. I think this is a really smart move. I think this helps out Gobert, but primarily I think this takes a little pressure off Donovan Mitchell, and I think this provides him with a better spot-up shooter. Like, Rubio got better as a shooter, but Conley is the one who's gotten a lot better as a shooter as far as a spot-up shooter. Catch and shoot, can make his own shot when he needs to. Like, when he first came into the league, I was like, I don't know if this guy can shoot ever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's really added facets to his game, and we know he makes a whole lot of money. But for Utah, this is like a win-now move. I like this move.
Well, and think about this. I mean, the Utah Jazz, remember coming into last year, Butch, we were looking at the teams that we thought could give the Warriors a run for their money and challenge them in the Western Conference. The Utah Jazz were like at the front of that list, right?
100%.
Donovan Mitchell's a star on the rise. Like, you know, this, I'm not diamond in the rough. I mean, I know he was a high pick, but
he's
still. Like,
D-Wade light.
Right. We didn't know that Donovan Mitchell was going to be this good of a scorer this early in his career. And once we saw that, we're like, damn, because you know how it goes, man. When you have a great, you know, a young player, I don't want to say he's great, but he's pretty damn good. He's on the path. You know what? He is a great young player.
He's a
great
young player. Rising star.
There you go. And you got a rising star like Donovan Mitchell under contract. Last year, he made $2 million. This year, he's going to make 3 points.
$2 million.
I know. This year, he's going to make 3.6 and then 5.1 the following year. Of course, they'll probably extend him after this season when they're eligible.
Yeah.
Give him like a little 4-year extension, whatever it is. Or he might just wait till his contract's done and sign the, you know, sign a max or a super max if he's eligible. I don't know all that stuff works with the CBA. I've done a lot of CBA homework the last couple of weeks, but how it applies to Donovan Mitchell's future, I haven't yet been able to get to that part of the textbook yet. But, you know, the reality is Donovan Mitchell ain't making a lot of money, and the Golden State Warriors are wounded right now. The Lakers, I mean, everybody's, you know, all the Lakers are this, Lakers that. LeBron got hurt last year. Anthony Davis always gets hurt, and you don't know how they're going to be able to fill out the rest of that roster. So I'm not over there. What are they going to bring, you know, Lance Stevenson back and JaVale McGee? Like, come on. That, we know that's not happening. So it's not just this foregone conclusion that the Lakers are going to be this, you know, juggernaut team next year. And LeBron will be, what, 36 years old next season? So there's that. So I think, you know, you look around the Western Conference, yeah, the Utah Jazz got to feel like they're ready to take a run at this thing. And even despite the players that they traded, you know, Dante Exum's still there, Joe Ingles is still there, Derek Favors is still there, and of course, Donovan Mitchell. Oh, yeah, and some dude named Rudy Gobert. Here, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Jay Crowder, though, if you watch them toward the down the stretch last year, like, Jay Crowder gave them good minutes.
He can ball.
He's solid.
I like Crowder.
I'm looking at Korver and Crowder as guys that I'm thinking Memphis is going to flip by the deadline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? To a contender.
Korver might get flipped, like,
immediately.
Korver might get traded tomorrow.
Well, but again, like, these are the kind of players, like, if the Warriors, I know the salaries have to match up, but, like, they could use Korver and Crowder, like, the Warriors off their bench. They just don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah. Korver under contract this season for $7.5 million. Jay Crowder, $7.8 million.
That's a lot of money. Wow, that's a lot of money. But going to Grayson Allen, like, this is a guy that everybody loved coming out of Duke. Well, not everybody, but
yeah,
a lot of people.
Yeah, he was kind of a chump.
A lot of people liked at least the skill set that he had coming out of Duke, and he's the perfect white Utah player, you know? But hey, people say that. It's just a reality. Right. I like Grayson Allen as far as, like, if I'm Memphis, what do you have to lose acquiring Grayson Allen? It's not your draft pick. You're already bottoming out completely. You're going to give him tons of minutes, opportunity to show himself. If he doesn't play good, yeah, you get rid of him. He's not your problem. If he does, it's found money.
Yeah, the problem with Grayson Allen, and again, only 38 games into his career, so, you know, there's still a long way to go in theory if, you know, he's going to stick around. But 32% from three-point range last year, 44% from the floor.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a great player. Yes. I'm just saying, like, you're going to give him opportunities to see what you got. Like, it was worth the swing to get rid of the contract for Mike Conley bottom out if you're Memphis.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think Conley, you know, to his credit as far as how he'll fit in with Utah, I think Conley's still got plenty of tread on the tire. And
he's,
you know,
a pro.
We see this with guys. I mean, he's 31. Like, he's never won a whole hell of a lot in his NBA career. And this is a chance for him to, you know, he's been with Memphis his whole career. So this is a new lease on life for Mike Conley. Conley. And yeah, you know, Memphis overpaid to keep him around a couple of years ago based on his production. That's a big number that Utah's taking on. But because Donovan Mitchell is still on that rookie contract, they can afford it. And this is their window to win a title. Now, like if you're Utah, and they'll probably add a few more pieces. I don't think they're done dealing. But this is the move that signifies to that fan base, we're looking to win a title this year. And what I noticed with Utah in the playoffs last year in particular, and even during the regular season, they didn't have that complimentary score at times to Donovan Mitchell. It was just like, give the ball to Donovan. Donovan, come save the day, right? Mm-hmm. And I think at least with Conley, now he's not quite the scorer, quote unquote, that you would need. Maybe I think they could use some front court scoring, but I mean, Conley averaged 21 points a game last year. He's a career 15 points per game guy, so
he's a playmaker. Yeah. At the end of games, yeah, he's a playmaker. That's right. The way I look at him. And again, if you just watch Utah over the last few years, they throw, like you said, throw the ball to Donovan, everyone get the hell out of the way, and they're looking for anybody who can help burden the load that Donovan Mitchell has been carrying for them. So I like this move for Utah. I'm rooting for Utah. I mean, if you don't like Donovan Mitchell, you don't like young, exciting players in basketball. Like, he's one of my favorite players in the league, and he plays hard at both ends. Like, this isn't a guy that dogs it on defense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and
I think agree.
That they take that mentality from one of their leaders, which is Rudy Gobert. Like, he's a defensive guy. He's not an offensive guy. And I think that kind of permeates throughout the rest of that roster. So I like it, because if you look at where everyone else in the league is going, offense, offense, offense. And Utah's like, well, you know what? We're going to play really hard-nosed defense, and we're going to try to execute in the half court. And when Donovan gets out in space, we know he can finish, but we know what we are, and we're going to stay true to that.
Yeah, only the Memphis Grizzlies at 106.1 points a game allowed less points than the Utah Jazz did per game last year in the Western Conference. As far as point differential, Jazz were second behind the Golden State Warriors last year. If you can defend, Butch, you've always got a chance. You do need a little bit of scoring,
yes,
because there will be nights where you fall down 10, 12, 15 points. That's life in the NBA, and you got to have guys that can, you know, turn it on and you know, get you back in games. But, I mean, the Jazz, that's always been a tough place to play. They're a 50-win team last year.
I thought they were going to take a bigger step forward.
Yeah.
They're one of those teams. Their season last year reminded me a lot of the Warriors the year after they beat Denver and lost to the Spurs. They took that step back
when they lost to the Clippers. Yeah.
That's what it felt like for me. Not that Utah's going to go on some Warrior-like run. I'm just saying, like, I expected them to take a bigger leap forward that they didn't take. And I think Rubio was hurt. There was a couple of guys hurt in that series, that playoff series, where they just didn't have it. And Donovan at times looked like he was a rookie. Like, the year before, he looked like he knew exactly what he was going to do, whereas last year I felt like he hit the wall. And I also think teams were ready for him this year. Like, he wasn't catching anybody off guard in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and did you hear this story about Kyrie Irving and how him going to the Nets hinges on his recruitment of Kevin Durant?
Explain more of this.
Well, that's just what we have right now.
So the Nets are not going to take Kyrie because he's not bringing Kevin with him?
And it's like, whose job is it to recruit players? What's up, Lucas? You're frantically waving your arms in there.
Okay, he's running in now.
Wow,
he's
Lucas,
bringing us
I've never
a piece
seen
of
Lucas
paper.
Run this fast in my life. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay. Oh, yeah, there you go. This is according to the New York Post. Thank you. It's on the rundown. Like I said, hey, bottom of page one on the rundown. But it's cool. I like to see him run like that. So
that's
it's okay.
Hustle.
Yeah, no, this is according to – I was looking for it, actually. According to the New York Post, the Nets may stop pursuing Kyrie over fears that he might not be able to bring KD with him. Like, really?
Don't come to my party unless you bring chips and dip. That's basically what that was, right?
I mean, don't show up empty-handed. I think that's fair.
I mean, but if I'm Kyrie, there's no way in hell that I want to go to you if the only reason you want me is because I'm going to bring somebody else. Like, then you don't want me. You want
the
other guy.
Kyrie, we're offering you a max contract, okay? So that should be all the incentive you need to come play with us. Just make sure you bring Kevin Durant. Otherwise, the offer's not on the table.
I mean, yeah, and I wonder how Kyrie's going to take that. Kyrie Irving, the same guy who walked out on Boston, wanted no part of LeBron at the end, which I don't blame him for.
How tight are these guys, Kyrie and KD? Are they really that tight?
I have no clue.
It seems like a ridiculous thing to expect of anybody. Like, you know, you're already asking me to assist in free agent recruitment, and if I can't land the most prized fish in free agent, and by the way, historically one of the toughest guys to get a read on of all players in professional sports, it's all hinging on me recruiting that guy, otherwise you don't want me. And guess what? You're the Nets. Like, Who are the Brooklyn Nets to be making, you know, these grandiose, you know what I'm saying, demands of anybody?
They're run by a Russian mobster. What do you expect?
True that.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
But
bring it.
The question I want to pose to you, and I think we brought this up earlier today, you and I, when we were in the back, and I mean this sincerely. If I was banking on the next 4 years, right, if I'm going to sign a 4-year deal with Kyrie or I'm going to sign a 5-year deal with this other player, would you rather have Kyrie for the next 4 years or D'Angelo Russell for the next 5? Because I think 2 or 3 years ago, I think it's a unanimous decision, TKO in the first round. Everybody's taking Kyrie. Now, I'm not so sure. Like, I think it's a harder question than people want to admit on the front. And I think a lot of people are instantly going to snap back and be like, well, duh, I want Kyrie. He hit a game seven winning shot, and he's a champion, and he's a lot of things. And, you know, D'Angelo's this knucklehead that filmed somebody in the locker room. I'm like, well, I don't really.
That guy's grow up.
I don't
guys
think
change.
That's fair. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, D'Angelo showed a lot this year as far as team leader.
Yeah, and how long ago was that with the recording? Is that like 3 years
Two
ago?
Two and a half at least.
Yeah, he was like 20.
He's 20 years old. If that.
He's 23 now, so it's 3 years ago.
Okay,
he's 19,
20 years old. If you judged me by the acts I made when I was 20 years old, my God, no one would ever want to look me in the eye ever again.
You're right. No, and by the way, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, KD has said before that Kyrie is one of his very closest friends. So there is that, but that doesn't translate into, hey, Kyrie, it's do or die if you want to come here and get this max contract. And if I'm Kyrie and the Nets come at me like that, I'd be like, bro, you think you're the only team that wants to pay me a max contract right now? I don't need to come play for your team that bad. See you later.
I'm curious why he's not more interested in going to the Lakers.
I don't know if the Lakers can afford to just give that slot to just one dude.
I know.
I think they gotta parcel that out a little bit, that remaining cap space that they have. Can they really afford that? And that's, you know, you could throw Kemba in there as well. I don't think they could do that.
I'm just asking out loud because it seems like Kyrie reunited with Anthony Davis, but more so with LeBron James.
Sure.
Like that to me makes sense. I don't know.
No, it seemed to me before I you know, read and read the reports about all the cap space issues that they have, I thought for sure, I'm like, oh, if they got a slot for another max player, Kyrie's gone.
So where's Al Horford going to go?
I mean, you can picture him with the Utah Jazz, right? They could afford him.
That's a good call.
Right?
That's a good, wow.
He'd playing
be
that
a lot,
front court with Gobert?
He'd be a more modern boozer for them.
Yeah.
You know, in many ways.
How about the Portland Trailblazers?
See, do they have room to absorb that cost? Because he'd be perfect for the Portland Trailblazers. Him and Nurkic, that'd be nice. What about Denver? Like, could Denver use him? I think Denver's the team I'm looking at. Like, couldn't they, like, they would love to have a veteran like Al Horford. And I don't know if that fits with Jokic. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, the Trailblazers would have to get rid of some pieces. I mean, they'd basically have to say goodbye. Well, if they could get rid of that. You know, I know they're trying to get that Evan Turner contract gone. If they got rid of Evan Turner, they might be able to do that. By the way, the Mavs are the favorites to get Al Horford right now.
I mean, they're just going to be all bigs. The Mavs are just going to have all big men and no little guys whatsoever.
I don't know. It seems like it'd be kind of a weird fit.
Yeah, well, I know that the Miami Heat are trying to move Hassan Whiteside if he doesn't opt out. He has the same agent as Harrison Barnes. So Miami was assuming that because they're right up against it. They've been playing luxury tax like crazy. They want to move, obviously, Hassan Whiteside if he stays into his contract. He's a big that I'm assuming someone might want. I mean, he's another enigma. I don't know what to make of him. Sometimes he looks great. Sometimes he looks like he's 5 years old,
right?
Because he's not mature.
You said this the other night, Butch. I want to give you credit. Phoenix Suns.
Why not? Like, I know everybody hates on Phoenix, but like, all it takes is a couple of vets to want to go there. I think that team could be not necessarily a lock playoff team, but a team on the rise.
Yeah.
You know, what about the Sacramento Kings for Al Horford? I would like that.
Yeah, I think Al Horford would be a nice, you know, veteran fit there. Guy
yes.
that's had a lot of playoff experience.
High screen for De'Aaron Fox.
He could switch a lot.
He could pass to Buddy Hield. I would really like that if I'm them.
Yeah.
Good compliment to the young pieces they have, Bagley and what's your boy, Harry Giles?
Yep. Let me see what the Kings payroll is looking like right now. Yeah.
Oh, 408. I got to give the 408. This Kyrie Nets thing.
They got a ton.
It's more like someone inviting you to your party and then saying, you can only come, but you got to bring the girl that I want to hook up with. That happens to be your girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
To the party.
Damn. That's like, that's going there, man. Dallas Mavericks, by the way, according to Basketball Reference, right now they have like $54 million committed for next season.
I feel
they haven't, they got to get Porzingis a deal too.
So what's the deal with him? He right now they have his rights. He can opt in. What does he got going right now?
Yeah, well, I think he's a restricted free agent.
Restricted free agent?
Yeah.
And he's like, once about enigma, I have no idea how good or how bad he is.
I mean,
he
who is play? Porzingis? Well, yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, you know, you can tell me you're the unicorn, you're Godzingis, all this stuff, but...
Godzingis? Yeah. I never heard that
one.
You
never heard Godzingis, bro?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Gazingod, actually, is what it is. Sorry. Yeah, Porzingod. No, it's Godzingis.
The god of
oh,
what?
Oh, there's also Porzingod. I've
the
heard Godzingis before.
The injury list?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Twitter hashtags? I don't know. But you're right. I mean, he hasn't played much. Hey, I'll tell you what, though. The last time we saw him, which was about 9 years ago, when he played 48 games for the Knicks, 22.7. He what? Scored. Yeah. Let's see. He was a... 6.5 rebounds a game guy.
Just six?
Yeah, 2.5 blocks. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's, seven, excuse me, seven rebounds.
Seven.
Oh, no, that's his career. No, excuse me, it was 6.6 last year. In his career, he's 17.8 scoring, 7.1 rebounds, 1.3 dimes, couple of blocks a game. He does block shots.
He got a little Bargnani in him. Remember him?
Bargnani?
You remember him from the Toronto
Yanni,
Raptors?
I remember the musician, Yanni.
Toronto Raptors. You don't remember Bargnani?
Bargnani?
Yeah, he used to fill it up, but overrated and overpaid. So,
right.
Like the Kyrie thing, the thing that I keep looking at with Kyrie, he's already doing the Chris Paul heel turn 10 years before Chris Paul.
Oh, dude, Kyrie Irving is officially a heel in the NBA now, I
absolutely.
Think. Bro,
absolutely.
Bro, the Celtics fans are going to despise him.
Where is he going to go? Where is Chris Paul going to go? Where is Kyrie going to go?
Well, Chris Paul's going to get traded somewhere.
I know where.
Who wants to take on that much money?
I wouldn't.
I mean, seriously. You'd be like, hey, let me get perpetually injured Chris Paul, who's a malcontent, who's never won a damn thing, and I'm going to pay him $40 million a year? Keep it moving,
but
bro.
What if I'm Indiana? What if I'm Indiana? I'm just throwing out a random team. Like, I don't necessarily, I'm never a destination for free agents. I have Oladipo, and that's about it. You know, I got Bogdanovich, who's probably going to be a free agent. Like,
trade him to the Wizards. They're getting rid of Bradley Beal. Oh, there, you got a point guard. All right, never mind.
Yeah, John Wall, and he's making a zillion dollars, too. I don't know. I'm just
trade him
I'm
to the
throwing
Bulls.
Out different things.
Trade him to the Bulls. Why not? Take him on. That way, I just want Chris Paul to end up on a trash team. Trade him to the Knicks. That works perfect.
What do they have to give up? Kevin
Dude,
Knox?
Their willingness to eat $40 million in salary. That's
oh,
what they have.
Oh, goodness.
And we're gonna do a sign-and-trade with DeAndre Jordan. So there you go, Houston. You finally got your guy. You got DeAndre Jordan.
Dude, the whole league is free agents right now. I feel like the next week is just going to be nothing but random free agents signing. Well, the trades tomorrow are going to be great.
Yeah, so we'll have to we'll have a comprehensive list. But yes, yeah, Porzingis is coming off a torn ACL. That's why we haven't seen him in 9 years. But he should be ready for training camp. So we're really looking forward to seeing Porzingod back on the floor.
And, like, does Milwaukee have any cap room to add to their particular situation? I mean, we know that Giannis is at some point going to get paid.
Right, here.
Right? Like, they're a team. If I'm Milwaukee, don't they feel a piece or two away? Right? They've got to be in the mix. If I'm Philly, I feel like everything's on the table if I'm Philly.
Well, Middleton opted out today, so that's a big word, opted out today. So he was only scheduled to make $13 million next year.
Only.
I know, right? It's tough, tough life, bro. They traded Tony Snell, so that 11 comes off the books there. Ilyasova's on the books for 7. Bledsoe, 15.6. George Hill at $18 million next year at 33 years old. Yikes. That's not good. That's a lot of money for old Georgie Hill.
Yeah, but that Lopez and Mirotić are coming off the books, right?
Yeah.
So, oh, man. That
well,
is a
yeah,
lot.
It's already, I mean, Mirotić and Lopez aren't included in the $107 million of salary that they already have allocated. And keep in mind, they haven't given Chris Middleton a raise yet. Yeah, the $15 million, because Antetokounmpo's at 25.
Wow.
18 for George.
And when's his deal up, Antetokounmpo?
2021. So, yeah, he's
are
got this
sure
year and next.
Are we sure he's going to resign?
No. Nobody's sure of that.
Could he pull an AD?
Nobody's sure
Watch
of that.
Watch him be the next.
I mean, I thought it was imperative in order for the Bucks to recruit Antetokounmpo, you know, for the long term to make sure that he stays. I thought it was imperative that they made it to the finals this year.
You think so?
I mean, they were up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it didn't happen. And now he's looking around. He's like, bro, I got, you know, Ersan Ilyasova and George Hill with me. He's like, dude, I want to go play for the Dubs, man. I want to go play with Curry.
And the guy who I think is going to get traded tomorrow that we haven't really even talked about, Karl Anthony Towns or Andrew Wiggins. Like, one of those two, they clearly can't play with each other.
Yeah.
Minnesota's got to make – I mean, talk about – Minnesota last year, they pick up Jimmy Butler, and I thought they were going to be at least a playoff team.
Like 36 and 46. They were awful last year.
And it's because of those two young guys. Those two young guys got no heart.
That's why Butler won it out. He's like, I can't work. You know,
well, he's got no heart.
How
either.
Can I reach these kids?
Tom Thibodeau, your boy, man, the detective.
Oh,
the
dude,
overworked homicide detective.
Get out of here with Tibbs, man. All right. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, Jimmy Butler's sitting there going, how can I reach these kids?
He'll be in the Knicks with Kemba. It's going to be him and Kemba or him and Chris Paul, and they're going to be miserable. And I'm giving that 2 years. That's the Pablo Sandoval Red Sox deal. Wherever Jimmy Butler lands, 2 years minimum. Yeah. He's going to ask for a trade.
All right, fair enough. And you know what? I'm sure he will because he's one of the most annoying players in the NBA.
He's the Jimmy Jackson of 2019. He's going to play on like 15 teams.
Oh, man. Hey, but hey, part of why we love the NBA is player movement. But like part of the thing that I, you know, what I admire about athletes is guys that like play for the same team their whole career. And I get it. It's
Reggie
a business.
Miller.
And yeah, guys, you know, they move off teams. I understand that. Kevin Johnson, right? I mean,
KJ. Wow.
Come on,
that's
bro.
That's a name.
That's a nice pull.
Cal.
That's
yeah.
a deep cut by your boy. No
Mayor
problem.
Sacramento.
I'll be here all week. So, you know, I like that. I like the idea of a guy staying with a team his whole career. I mean, Michael Jordan. Oh, wait, he played for the damn Wizards. You know, no, I was just joking.
That didn't, like, the Wizard years didn't, they yeah. didn't exist.
Yeah, yet. I know. It's just such trash.
Even though he was the best Wizards player, even though he came off the bench, he was unbelievable.
Of course.
He was unbelievable.
Spoiler alert, Michael Jordan was pretty good, Butch.
Was
even
it Kwame Brown?
96 years old.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I waited on Kwame Brown one time. I think he tipped me like 8%. I'm like, bro, I hooked you up, man. Like,
oh
what's up with that, dog?
Oh
how much
goodness.
Money do you have? Like, seriously, I think his check was like $70, and I think he tipped me like $6 or something.
I hate bad tippers.
Yeah, and it was
I
like, you know,
them.
And I'm a good waiter. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, I know when I've given, like,
yeah.
bad service, which was very rare.
Yeah.
Like, he was Kwame Brown. I wanted to hook him up. You know what I mean? He was
yeah.
like, and he gave me the old, right on, big dog. You know what I mean?
No,
I knew
he didn't.
Once I got the verbal tip, I knew it was a wrap. I knew I was toast. The verbal tip is the worst thing you could ever get in as a waiter. Hey, great service, man. Really appreciate it. You know, somebody does that, they ain't going to tip you.
Oh,
that's the
goodness.
Verbal tip.
That's
I'm going to go try and use the verbal pay my mortgage this month. Hey, thanks for being such a great you know, great mortgage company provider. I really appreciate the loan. Thank you. We'll see if that should suffice or if they want their two G's.
It's not Apple Pay. It's Smile Pay.
Exactly.
Right? You like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. See how far that goes.
I like
all
Apple
right.
Pay.
Yeah. You know what I like, Butch?
Huh.
I like to play Puff Puff Pass, and we're going to do that coming up on the other side. It's the Butcher Shop!
Butcher Shop continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and the Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
This was the Mission Street anthem for about 12 years.
What song is this? I'm kidding. Get out of here.
Die.
Dude, yes. 650 Puff Puff Pass is absolutely from that Young Lay song. Puff Puff Pass, make it last, y'all. That is on Black and Dangerous, also known as my favorite album, maybe in Bay Area rap history. Gotta Survive with him and Pac. Players Mode on the D. Dude, that whole album is just stacked.
They sampled the Mac Dre verse.
Of
I mean,
course,
the little hook. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a classic. At the end, there was a Machiavelli tape. Back when they had all the Machiavelli tapes, you go to like a swap meet and get like the Machiavelli 19. You know, be all the underground songs that would eventually get re-released and whatnot by Death Row. But I remember he had like this whole like verse at the end of that song with Young Lay where he's going on about the Constitution and this, that, and the
Tupac?
Other. Yes.
Yeah, it's on Gotta Survive.
Yes, I
yeah,
know.
That's his best verse ever.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
my favorite Tupac verse of all
the
time.
The very ending when the music
yeah.
changes and it
yeah.
turns it. Love
well,
it.
Well, dude, you got Young Lay, Mac Maul.
Yeah, Mac
Ray
Maul
Love,
is the other one
yeah,
on
Yeah, Ray Love.
That's right.
Yep.
It's like a 7 or 8 minute song because it
it's about 6 minutes. Yeah, but there's this. Well, the beat switches up. When it breaks for Mac Maul's verse, that's actually my favorite part.
Yeah. The breakdown.
It goes, wah, wah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Like, I don't know. I'm going to disrespect it. But
that's that Kyrie.
If you, yeah, exactly.
That's
you know,
that Kyrie.
That YBB.
Come on.
If you're out there and you're young and you don't know what we're talking about right now, go on YouTube and type in Young Lay, Gotta Survive. You're welcome. Okay, if you fancy yourself a young hip-hop aficionado and you know all the hot tracks, go run that back one time and then come talk to me. And then throw on Doobie, a.k.a. Sugar Wolf Pimp, and then we can have a conversation like a couple of adults.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. By the way, guru.
But when you say that, that's when I'm like, damn, Covey, you've gone off the reservation. But yes,
no, I love it. You're right. I agree with you. There's so many. To narrow it down, top five, but people are.
Oh, yeah, 6'5 wants in our top five. Come on.
Top five. But first off, guru didn't tip his waitress on Father's Day? That's what some person on the text line saying?
I got to substantiate that first. I'm not going to light him up.
I'm going to light him up if I find out that's true.
And yes, thank you, Tristan, from Marin. That was my representation for Cartman.
How do you not tip? I mean, even if the service is absolutely
No.
Awful.
You tip something, and that's not for them. That's for me.
And for the wait staff and back and all the other people.
Right, because they're busser. Yeah, exactly. Because they got to tip out. But in general, I got really bad service not that long ago, right?
Yeah, and actually,
yeah, and like really bad. Yeah. And like they were rude, they were bad, they forgot about us. And I told the, I left 15% on the button, right?
Yeah.
And I went and told the manager, I said, you know, hey, I'll be honest, like, you know, we've got usually good service here. I won't say the restaurant, but, we usually get good service here. It was really bad tonight. I was like, I'm not happy. That waiter's not cutting it, okay? They were rude. They weren't good at their job.
Do you feel uncomfortable when you do that, out of curiosity?
It depends. It depends on my mood. Yeah. I normally won't do it. But, like, if you really tick me off enough, I'm going to, because I have it in me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just careful. You know what I mean? That's kind of the deal. But I told him, I was like, I still tipped because not tipping is completely beneath me. I said,
100%.
But at the same time, just so you know, and just so that waiter knows, that tip would have been a whole lot more had they treated us with a little civility and just an inkling of professionalism.
Well, and I think that you and I both worked in the food service industry at times in the customer service aspect, whether it's as a server, waiter, et cetera. I mean, that's how I bought my house. My wife has been a waitress for 13 years, not more. Last couple, she's worked in the corporate America.
Sure, yeah.
But like without waiting tables, like we wouldn't have a house, you know? And so I think that we both, my wife and I, when we go out to eat, we have this, like, we understand the plight of being a waiter or
100%,
waitress, right?
100%.
That being said, I think we also are a lot more lenient, but at the same time, when it's bad, bad, bad service and it's over the top, like, we also understand, like, whoa, you could have handled this. Even if you're having your worst day, there's a way to deal with people to where you could still be civil and fake.
Well, here's the deal, too, Butch. When you've waited tables, you can understand, like, I can look around a section and I can look around a restaurant and I can surmise quickly, like, where my waiter's at.
Yeah.
Like, as
if
far
it's
as
busy,
yeah,
or
and, yeah, if
the
they're
kitchen's
actually
holding
moving,
them up.
Yeah, if the kitchen's holding them up, if, like, there's a table keeps demanding, you know, taking away all their time, monopolizing their time, you know, did they get triple sat? Like, you know, there's a lot of different factors going into play. And I don't just take something at face value. I take a look around and I pull all the elements
together.
Like a
quarterback in the pocket. You're surveying what the defense is giving
you. I'm going through my progressions, doggy.
Yeah.
I'm going through my progressions.
Trent Dilfer over here.
You know what I'm saying?
Progressions.
Yeah. And I'm hitting that fourth option if I have to. But that's it. I'm not just going to just light up a waiter just because I'm in a bad mood.
It's the worst.
Right.
It's the worst.
Just treat people with respect. Oh, dude, 925 said, Guru said he didn't tip because they charged him for refills. I hope that's not true because Guru has to realize that's not on the waiter. Having said that, even if I was in a place that charged for refills, which I'd never work in a trash-ass restaurant like that, I would get free refills anyway.
I need a mimosa.
Wow. We got it. We can't speak on it, though.
No,
we really
no.
can't.
But I do have an issue because I've heard this from other people. They're like, well, I don't have a lot of money, so when I go out, blah, blah,
don't
blah.
Don't go out then.
That's what I always tell them.
Don't
like,
go
well,
out.
Then don't go out. Like, again.
Top ramen, son. Macaroni and cheese.
My wife and I don't travel because we can't afford to travel, right? If you can't afford to go out and eat, then stay home. And like, because otherwise, part of going out to eat is the tipping portion of it. And
amen.
I just, it drives me nuts because not only does the waiter or waitress get part of that, like their salary is only based on the tips. They're getting minimum wage and whatever you give them is adding on to that. And then they got to divvy that up with the bus boys and all the different guys in back. Like my wife would always break off everybody at every station because that's how it is. You got it's group money and then you divvy it up.
Bro, and that's when you have people's back like that, they have your back. Every now and again, I work the restaurants I work in, I bring a 12 pack to the dude in the kitchen, and I'm not under any obligation to tip them anything, but I'm showing love. Why? It's selfish. I want to get my food out.
Absolutely. And the other part of this is that me as someone, like, I go to the same places over and over and over again, so I want them to like me, number one, and I want to get continual good service. So if you're known as the good tip guy, I like, you know this, Ryan, like, when you see somebody that you know, like, oh, they tip well, you always treat them better.
Totally.
Like, straight up, like, you go the extra mile, it's the little things.
And I want that. I want that kind of service. I want to be revered like that. I want to be known, and in that respect, I want to be viewed in a positive light. And yeah, man, when I go in somewhere, it's worth the extra couple of bucks to me to get shown love and respect. What's up, Lucas? You all right over there?
Lucas, you're a waiter.
You got that emo look on your face.
You're
right
a waiter.
Now.
Okay.
No, Jeff just said hello to me, and I just said bye. Hi,
yeah,
back.
Yeah, just so, like, Lucas, no, you have the
peel
look.
A curtain back.
I know the look.
Lucas is our fabulous producer. Hello.
Hello.
that was from way back with me. Lucas.
Yes.
Do you know right away, like, some of the regulars that come into your restaurant, which will remain unnamed, like, you know if they're good tippers or not, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I was going to say that most regulars are good tippers, but that's just factually untrue.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just realized that.
But
yes, you do. And at our restaurant, we have a host, and the host determines where people
sit.
So it's not like we can go claim someone.
Most places
as a server, you can't go claim a table that's not in your section.
Well, and the other aspect of this is there were.
But they can request you.
They can. They'll wait for their spot. Like, my wife used to work up on the hill up here on Knob Hill, and there was a couple of sisters who will remain unnamed that were very popular, and everybody couldn't stand them because they would be belligerent and they didn't tip. But you had to give them their seat because they thought they were famous and important when in reality
Mary
they actually
Kate and Ashley?
No.
Oh, that's right. Because I was thinking Full House in the city. You know, I was thinking the Olsen twins.
I'll tell you outside of the show.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Worst. Yeah, it is the worst.
When I'm listening to a show and that happens, oh. Yeah.
All right, it was the San Francisco twins, okay? That's who it was.
Should I know who that is?
Stand those two old ladies. They're very mean.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, screw them. By the way, 925, I puff around 10:40 every night. Lines up perfectly with your segment. Keep doing what you guys are doing. You got great energy. Much respect to you there.
He takes the garbage out at the same time every night like I do.
650, loving the puff puff pass with the young lay, no doubt. And then a lot of people just lighten up Guru for not tipping. You all right?
Yeah. We haven't puffed yet, though.
That's what I'm just getting to it.
Good.
You mind if I quarterback the show?
You know what I do?
I'm going through progressions right now. Do you mind?
Do you know what I do after a great meal when I go out and I tip my waiter very well or waitress after they do a great job? I go home, I let my wife go to sleep, and I relax with a little puff puff pass.
Look at Butch. Look at Butch. Coming in like Steve Young.
I picked that off.
Joe Montana just got peeled by Leonard Marshall.
Stared down his receiver. Stared it down.
I'm more of a Steve Bono guy.
Yeah, right.
To start a little puff puff giving.
10 and 6 didn't make the off, though.
The
was that 92? No off? 10 and 6?
I ain't foaming out the mouth, man. Yo, pass that.
Weed is tight. That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Tight, yeah!
All right, it is time for America's Fastest Growing Game Show. It is Puff Puff Pass. Butcher Boy, what's up, baby?
You know when something is a big topic? Because my mother-in-law is texting me at 10:30 at night. She's very mad at Klay Thompson for being in Space Jam 2.
Wow.
Very mad.
Let's start right there. I don't even have a question about it. Why would she be mad? Is she worried about the rehab?
She hates LeBron James.
LeBron James.
She loves Klay is like her favorite. Klay is her favorite. She's like loves women love Klay Thompson. My wife loves Klay Thompson.
Klay's,
my buddy's wife loves Klay Thompson. Like a lot of women love Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Loved him. And I think they're very mad. That because like LeBron James, like they understand how great he is, but I think they're just sick of the egomania. Like women see right through that.
Yeah, they know. They know.
For those who did not hear, according to Sham Sharania, sources say Space
is that
Jam
the right
2.
Way to pronounce it Sharania?
Yeah, I believe
right.
so.
I don't know. Nobody knows for sure.
Sharania sounds right. Doesn't
okay,
it?
Respect.
Sounds good. Space Jam 2 is starring LeBron James and is expected to feature key roles. So this is like star roles for Damian Lillard, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, and WNBA stars Diana Taurasi and Nneka Ogunwuke.
That's cool that they're getting the WNBA in there. That is. I really do. I think that's super cool. It's good.
Because,
you know, I coach girls. It's good for girls to see. And I know people, like, roll their eyes. A bunch of dudes roll their eyes. You don't need an all-female Ghostbusters. No, you don't need an all-female Ghostbusters. But it is good for, like, Space Jam to have some ladies in there.
So I'm still not going to watch it.
I'm not either. I'm not a Space Jam fan, but I think it's cool that they're in there because a lot of kids are going to see it.
You're seriously telling me you're not going to watch this movie?
No chance in hell.
Even as sports talk host?
I didn't see Uncle Drew. I didn't even like the original Space Jam.
But Klay's going to be in
it. Bro, I watched the original Space Jam once.
My brother
loved
it.
About 20 years ago.
So did I.
My brother loved it. He was way younger.
I won't watch it. I don't need to watch that.
I like real sports movies.
Yeah.
I don't like the fake ones. Like
what?
Not Space Jam.
Like Last Chance U?
Like Miracle, dog.
Yeah, like Miracle. Or Hoop Dreams. I loved Hoop Dreams.
I will take up for Miracle every chance I get.
There's a lot of movies, but
Waterboy.
Oh, for sure.
Waterboy.
Absolutely.
Real sports movie.
I got a wooden spoon.
I'm sorry, dude. The Space Jam. I love Looney Tunes, too. Like, I love Looney Tunes. I just didn't like Space Jam.
It really, really sucks.
You know, it's always going to be a good puff-puff pass when I make the water bottle shot. I did tonight. Steph's got the tunnel. Don't hum me.
Kobe,
you son of a bitch. God.
God.
Whoa. Go ahead.
Pass that thing around. You need to relax a little, young
no,
man.
No, he's always hating on me, man.
Take this.
Lucas is always hating on me, and I'm sick of it. What
so,
you got?
Lucas, you're going to run to the theater and watch Space Jam? You going to get one of those kids' matinee tickets? Or what are you going to do here?
No, I don't know that. I definitely... It's not a priority. That's what I'll say. I'll see it at
Lucas,
some point.
What is a priority in Lucas Alexander's day?
And team comfort, baby. He is whatever works, man. Whatever's clever.
Is this an on-demander for you? Like, do you on-demand at home
team
or what?
Comfort.
How do you?
Do we know when it's going to come out? I need to.
It's
going to
go straight to DVD. That's
so,
what I'm thinking.
Here's my question for you. They haven't shot it yet, and Clay has a torn ACL.
It's like 2 years.
They're going to be shooting it over summer, like prime rehab month for Clay. What do we do with that?
Here's the movie. LeBron, you're awesome, and all these other players bow down to you. Boom!
But
the
there
end.
Have to be
That's
shots
all,
of him
folks.
Moving and playing basketball, right? He's got to showcase the talent that they probably
maybe it's just
steal.
CGI,
probably
bro.
Steal right?
Maybe it's just interview Clay. Like,
yeah, Clay's going to have the cameo.
Interview. Like, remember, what was that movie with I think it was The Rookie where the kid hurt his arm and then he struck out Barry Bonds and then in all the buildups, like, Barry Bonds is in this as a pirate.
So,
and they literally showed him for like 6 seconds.
Oh, that's a classic Hollywood ploy right
Space
there.
Space Jam 2 set to debut July 16th, 2021. So a year from July 16th.
No, 2 years from July 16th.
2 years from July 16th. Wow, that is a really long ways out.
Fight on. I told you, 2 years. Like post-production, editing.
So why do they have to shoot it now? It takes that
because
long?
Because they're basketball players. You got to shoot it in the summer. Well, they're going to shoot it in December?
Next summer.
Then
Clay
it'll come
doesn't
out in
have a
20 that,
on wood.
It's all about that hair transplant that LeBron's been getting. You know, he's got to make sure that it looks good now. You film it now because he could lose it later.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of money on that hair.
Hollywood Bron, says Jeff Gold. That's our sports for that.
Appreciate it.
Game of Thrones. Boys.
Yes.
Huge Game of Thrones
Never
show.
Never heard of it.
It's been weeks since we've mentioned it, so we're way overdue.
I'm kind of glad because it so pissed me off.
So my girl just finally watched the last couple episodes. Yeah. Well, she just moved here. She's been working a lot, whatever. Like,
binge mode?
Yeah,
she's foreign.
She's Canadian. She's foreign. She banged out the last couple episodes. She hated it. She thought it was terrible. She's like, wait, Bran?
Oh, so horrible.
So she kind of just fell right in line with everyone
basically,
else?
Basically.
She's a follower. She's not a leader.
She's a sheep.
It'd be like Drake as 100%. The Degrassi guy, like, you know, in a wheelchair, becoming like President of the United States of America and Superman simultaneously.
Kind of
horrible
has become
ending.
That.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, but that's damn accurate.
My sister
did you
used
come
to,
up with that?
No, my sister used to watch Degrassi. I'm stealing.
Just like the Carl Eugenie Bellinger.
Yeah,
he finally revealed it was his grandfather
exactly.
And not
he's
him
been
today.
Been bringing it to the table for months.
I came up with this until 3 weeks later.
Well, I called him the 2019 Pops. Version. That's how I came up with that. You got to revise.
And if it's your bloodline, it's you. I think you're cool to steal within the family.
I agree.
Yeah, because that's like
credit?
We're all,
part
of this, we're all built for the same thing.
Although, don't steal from my any of my dressers, because when my brother used to steal stuff out of my dresser.
Dude.
I'd kill him. I also had the secret spot underneath in the closet. I would pull the floorboards up and I'd hide stuff.
What would you keep down there? What's the best of the best?
Well, back in the day,
porno magazines, penthouse,
movies, magazines, things like that. You got to understand, we traded
VHS
a
tapes.
Lot because this is before the internet.
Bro,
you
that's
guys.
Currency back in the
you don't
day.
Understand.
That's straight up currency.
It's basically like being in jail. You know what I mean? That stuff was basically commissary.
Yeah,
I mean,
contraband.
Movies. Absolutely,
boys. I bring up Thrones
trading
for a
top
reason.
Ramen soups for porno mags.
Absolutely, Big Texas's, those little like pastries that be in the
throw
the
some
thing.
Hot Cheetos in
some honey buns.
Big Texas's,
some honey buns.
That's right. You want to know why I bring up Game of Thrones?
I can't wait.
This may be my favorite what if I've ever heard about Thrones.
Give it to me.
Director Miguel Sapochnik explained today that they dropped a scene that would have been magical. At one point in the third ep, the massive battle scene at Winterfell, right? The super dark one. They considered having, you ready? 50 direwolves fighting against an undead dragon. You hear that? 50 direwolves against one dragon. Why was it scrapped? Because the director says, quote, it would have been boring to watch. I have two questions for you. You puffing or passing, this would have been boring. We'll start there, boys.
Butch.
50 direwolves, one undead dragon.
I'm going to pass, and the reason I'm going to pass is I don't like it when animals get hurt, and I'm assuming that some of the dogs were going to get hurt. Like, I know it's so... like when I
you're
see
not, you're not alone in this.
I don't know why I feel this way, but whenever I see like homeless people with the dog, I always feel worse for the dog than the homeless person. That's me being
I think that's
wired
a, that's
improperly.
A sign of being a human.
No,
I think
know,
everyone
but, like, I just... I don't like seeing animals or, like, we were seeing the ladies, women fighting yesterday. I don't even like seeing women fighting each other. And I know that
MMA.
That might
I don't like seeing
MMA,
men
clarify.
Fighting each other.
I don't either. Believe me. Like those parents that were fighting on the baseball field. Yeah. Ridiculous and disgusting. I just don't want to see. I don't want to see dogs.
Right. I got to sign off with my partner. No, not at all. Like I said, I'm doubling down with you, man. I agree. Like, but I'm also able to separate. Like, this is a fantasy television
CGI.
Show. It's CGI. It depends on how it gets shot and how the direwolves end up there.
Also, the question was boring. Not did you want to see it? Would it have been boring?
Again, depends on how they shoot it, how it fits into the context of the story.
I agree, but also, like, the ending was boring. So anything outside of that ending, I would have been good with.
That YouTube video I sent you, how Game of Thrones should have ended, was amazing.
I agree.
Amazing.
That's why I don't like John Wick, because of the little baby puppy dying at the beginning. I didn't like it.
Oh, I've never seen it, but Jeff's like,
neither have I. Is that spoiler alert?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Bro, it's been out for like 6-7 years. You don't need spoiler alerts for that.
Seriously.
According to Jeff Gold, it's the greatest trilogy ever created, John
Back
Wick.
Back to the Future?
Wow, dude.
I'm not
Star Wars
I shouldn't
much?
Have even said it.
Yeah.
Come on!
Really set us down a quick rabbit. Oh, we got out of it real quick. Last buffer pass on this subject. 50 direwolves, you puffin' or passin', they would have a shot against a dragon.
An undead dragon?
An undead dragon, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Really? How?
Yeah.
What's the strat?
Actually, wait, you know what? No, because he could still spit that flame.
All you
huh?
have to do is stay, like, at least 10 feet above them, and they can't reach them,
I'm going to ask a sincere question. I'm passing on this.
Yeah, you're right.
When did the direwolves really do anything in the entire, like,
I can tell
seven
you,
or 8 years?
Oh, Arya, right?
The assassin came to take out Bran, and Catelyn had to fight off the assassin with the knife, with that assassin's blade in season one.
Catelyn's a dog?
And then what was Bran's direwolf's name?
I just know Ghost, and that's it.
Yeah, jumped on. Well, there's Shaggy Dog, and there was Summer.
Summer jumped on Shaggy Dog.
Yeah, that was dumbass. The other brother that died. Rickon died. Yeah, Shaggy Dog was his name. It was trash. But Summer jumped on the bed and tore out. Remember,
Summer.
Tore out the would be assassin's throat.
Jugular.
Yeah, jugged him up.
Didn't Arya get saved by her? Like,
yeah, well, because Joffrey was messing with her, and then Nymeria came up and bit Joffrey on the hand. Yeah, and that caused a big stir. And then that's when they had to kill Lady, Sansa's direwolf, and then Nymeria ran off, and then she saw her some seasons later.
Can we just agree that the direwolf entire story arc,
they wasted it.
As it was presented on TV, was a very underwhelming.
One of the many things that were fast-forwarded towards the end.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to hit this before we go. NBA draft tomorrow, the Pelicans expected to take Zion number one. We've touched on all this. In honor of the generational talent coming to New Orleans, Popeyes... Legendary chicken joint.
Delicious.
Is launching a one-day special, one day only, served at one location in New Orleans. It is the 82-inch wingspan box. That's exactly what it sounds like. Zion has a wingspan of 82 inches.
How do you
inches.
Even get that in your car?
It's 6 feet, 10 inches of 77 boneless wings, 11 biscuits, 11 servings of fries, I don't even know how many dipping sauces you would get. How much? Great question.
They're kind of stingy on the dipping sauces at Popeyes.
Isn't that
Popeyes.
The worst?
It is the worst.
That's like the worst thing you can do.
It's available at Popeyes on Canal Street in New Orleans, in case you're there.
Listening on the radio.com app.
$74.69 while supplies last. That's a must-have for a New Orleans draft party, puffer pass. And then how many supplies can last? Like, how many boxes do they have ready to go?
Let me ask you, how many times have you eaten at Popeyes?
There was one right across campus at SC, so I probably had it 5 times maybe in my life.
Yeah, there's one on Geneva Mission that's like the spot, right? We used to go to all the time.
It's up there, right, in the power rankings of fried chicken, fast food?
Oh, it's delicious. The spicy crispy chicken is like off the hinges. That's one of my favorite things. Problem is it takes forever for the boneless ones.
I'm not a big Popeyes guy, sorry.
Oh my God, the biscuits with the butter in it!
I think it'd be worth it just to have that 7-foot-long box, right? Just for the story.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Their fries are overrated, too.
We'll be on after the draft tomorrow. We got to go, boys. Thanks, Lucas. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks to the 9 people in
Good
the control
show,
room. Appreciate everybody in there. Arden and Joe Cherry training tonight. Thanks to Mark Medina. And,
hey, woman.
Yeah, and thanks to, Roxy Bernstein, our folks, our family.
The man. No,
dude, Roxy's badass.
2 days for us. He called the Nays game earlier and came on with us to break down NBA.
Butch, love you, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Just be good to each other.